Kind of as we're transitioning, right? Sunday school starts next week. There's different ministries starting up. School will be starting up. Where did summer go, right? And this morning, I just kind of wanted to encourage all of us just in ministry, in the mission that God has for each one of us. And I want to use Paul as an example, as Paul was very clear. Paul understood what God had for him. So I want to look at Paul, use him as an illustration, and just consider Paul, consider the ministry that God had for him, and then apply that to our own lives as far as what is it that God has for us? What kind of ministry does God have for each one of us? So we'll start off in Ephesians chapter 3. And here we see Paul's ministry mission. Paul's ministry mission, verse 8. It says, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the ages, has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." So Paul clearly states here he understood his ministry, the mission that God had for him, and the unique ministry really that God had for Paul. But as he starts out here, he understood that it was all of God's grace. The opportunities that God gave him to minister, to proclaim the gospel, it was God's grace. Paul understood the value that he brought to the table was worthless. It was nothing. I heard, I was meeting with the boys this week, and a couple of them said the exact same phrase twice, so I know they heard it somewhere. Right? God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Right? As we are called, then he equips. And Paul understood that. Paul is he saying here, right? It wasn't that I was some great person, had all these doctorates, and I had all these things on the wall proclaiming all that I had accomplished in life, and God was like, "Oh man, that guy's qualified to go do this." No, Paul understood, hey, I'm worthless. I'm just being faithful. I am nobody. In other places, Paul says, "I am the least of the apostles." Here he says, "I'm the least of the saints. Of all the believers, I'm the worst. I'm just nobody. I'm the one who persecuted the saints. I'm the one who I thought in my zeal for God that I was doing a good thing, and I was misled, and I had people killed. I had them put in prison for their faith in Jesus Christ." And so Paul, as he comes, like, this is God's grace. The fact that he is willing to use me and to use me to impact other people's lives, to minister to others, it is God's grace. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is the next book over. Philippians 3. Paul here lists his credentials. And humanly speaking, these are great credentials. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day in the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." So Paul lists there all these things that other people would have been, like, trying to attain these things. As he says here, I am a Jew, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, I was circumcised the eighth day. I've done all these things according to the law. I am righteous. I am blameless. But it's all worthless. in my service for Christ, right? All of that means nothing. In my relationship with God, it means nothing. It counts for absolutely nothing. It is all rubbish. And so Paul understood that all the things that he said in the flesh that I could take pride in, all the things that I could say, look at what I've accomplished. It's worthless. It's worthless. And so he says, look, God has called me, and it is God's grace that I am allowed to serve him, that he uses me in such a marvelous and wonderful way. And so Paul starts here. As we think of his ministry, as we think of his mission, that's where he starts here, with humility. And just saying, look, I don't deserve to be used by God in any way. And yet, by his grace, he has chosen to use me. And if God can use Paul, he can use you. I promise you. He can. And he does. And he will. And so Paul just recognizes that. And he says, look, this is God's grace. The fact that he allows me to ministry, it is God's grace. So back to Ephesians chapter 3, as Paul continues there. It says this by God's grace. And then he specifically says, here's my ministry. Here's the mission that God has for me, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul understood. This is what God had for him. This was his specific ministry that God had for Paul. The opportunity to preach the gospel to the heathen, to the godless, to those who were worshiping idols and sacrificing to idols, those who had never heard of God, those who did not even know the scriptures, those who had never heard of Jesus. That's who Paul ministered to. Paul understood. That was my call. That's where Paul, he understood. That's what God has for me. And that, so that is what I'm endeavoring to do. Now, when you look at the book of Acts, you think about Paul, and he'd go from city to city, town to town, preaching the gospel. He always went to the Jews first, right? He did. He went to the synagogues first. And he'd go proclaim Jesus. He'd preach Jesus to the Jews, and then he'd get thrown out of the synagogue. And they'd get rid of him. And then a whole bunch of Gentiles would see what's going on, and a bunch of them would hear the gospel, and they'd get saved, and the church would be birthed. It just happened over and over, town after town. Right? So Paul often would go to the Jew first, because that's his people. But then it was through the Gentiles. He understood, this is what God is blessing. This is what God is doing. And as he says here, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to share the unsearchable riches of Christ. To share with people what salvation is. To share with people forgiveness and knowing that you've been cleansed of your sin, that you are without guilt, that you can come before God boldly. To understand what truth is, to understand what knowledge is, to understand truly what peace is, the peace of God and the joy of God. To understand fulfillment that only comes from knowing God. To have companionship with God, to have hope, to have love, to be complete. To know all those things. Paul said, I love preaching that stuff. I love proclaiming that stuff. And as he says here, then to make known the mystery. Those things which hadn't been made known before, specifically about the church. And here's this church that God is establishing, made up of Jew and Gentile, all those who have placed their faith in Christ, God calling them to himself and establishing the church. Paul said, I love making that known. If you look at the first 7 verses of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul explains that mystery. He says in verse 1, it says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. So here's Paul. He says, look, right, here's the mystery that he's talking about. It's nothing, right? It's not like it's some secret. It's just new knowledge that God has revealed through Paul. He says here, the church that's established, and it's not just for the Jew. It also now incorporates everyone from every tribe, from every nation. Those that God is calling to Himself to be the church. And so Paul was proclaiming that. He was proclaiming the gospel. He was excited as people were being saved. And then as he continues here to make known that mystery. And then also God's plan. Right? The manifold wisdom of God. Making that known. That God had planned out before creation. This great manifold wisdom. I love that word manifold. I don't know if your scripture says manifold, but I like that word. Manifold means many-sided. Right? Many-sided. It means it's deep. It means it's complex. So think of what God is doing as God is at work. It's complicated. Right? It's complicated. And God is weaving these things in and out and doing this through this person and this through this person. It all is coming together for His glory. And often we just sit back and be like, oh wow. Oh wow, Lord. You are so great. You are so wonderful. And so as Paul says, I get the opportunity to share these things with people. I get this opportunity to share it with the Gentiles. I get this opportunity to share it with people who have never heard before. And it's all incorporated in Christ Jesus. Right? The eternal purposes of God. It's all incorporated in who Christ is. That He's accomplished these things. And it is accomplished and it is finished in Christ and in Christ alone. And then as Paul says here, that they would have access, boldness, right? Access to God, similar to what we were reading in our scripture reading earlier in Hebrews, that we have this access to God, this boldness, knowing who our Lord and Savior is, having this assurance because He is our high priest. He offered Himself once for us. We are cleansed of our sin, and so we can now boldly have access to God the Father. We can boldly enter into His presence without fear of rejection. Because of who Christ is. And so Paul says that was his ministry, right? He understood his specific ministry. Are we all called to the same ministry? No. No, we're not. We're not. This is what Paul, right? Paul's like, this is what God has called me to do. And so he was faithful in that. And as we think of Paul's ministry here, he is also then secure in it because of submission. So we see here then Paul's secure submission. Submission to what God had for him. Verse 13. It says, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Paul was secure in his relationship with Jesus Christ. He was secure in what God had for him. And he was living in submission to what God had for him. He says here in verse 13, he says, therefore, because God has worked all these things out, because God had called Paul, and God had used Paul in a wonderful way, and it was God's grace, it was God's mercy. Because of all that, Paul says here, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Why? Because Paul was in prison. As Paul's writing this, he's in prison. He's not a free man. He's not out proclaiming the gospel. He's not out planting churches. That was the ministry God had for him, and yet that's not what was going on. Did Paul lose heart? At times, I think. You look at some of his writings, you can tell there's a little bit of discouragement there. But as Paul is, he's trying to encourage the believers at Ephesus, these people that were very dear to him. He spent a lot of time in Ephesus. We just went through the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote that letter from Ephesus. He spent a couple years there. And so these were people that he knew very well, and he was just trying to encourage them. Yes, I'm in prison. Yes, I would rather be doing something else. But it's okay. I'm living in submission to what God has for me, and this is where God has me right now. So I'm not going to sit here and whine and complain. I'm going to be used however God wants. And so Paul wrote a lot of letters. Paul did things. God used Paul in a very powerful way as he was in prison. And so it's just a reminder for us that we need to be willing to submit to what God has for us. Things don't always go the way we want or we would like. A lot of times God brings us through different things that we need. We need to learn and we need to have in our lives so that God can use us for the next step, whatever that is. And so Paul was living in submission to what God had for him. And he says here, I submit myself to what the Father has, what Christ has for me. And as he says here, we are all a family. The family of God here. We have this family, this heavenly family that we are living here on earth and we are here for each other. And so he says, I submit myself to what God has for me. For your sake. For your sake. And for God's purpose, that He would be glorified and that you would be encouraged in your faith to continue on. So he says, don't get discouraged. God's got it. He's working it all out in the way that He wants to. And so Paul was secure in what God had for him because he was living in submission. He was living in obedience to what God's call was on his life. And so, yeah, he's sitting in prison. And he's okay with that. He's okay. He knew that's where God wanted him. And so he was okay with that. And so we see Paul's mission. We see him living in submission. And then that leads then to Paul's passion. And we see Paul's people passion. Paul's people passion, verse 16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We see Paul's focus here. In ministry, it's people. And here's the thing, you cannot minister without people. It'd be a lot easier, be a lot messy, a lot less messy, right? Be less messy without people, it'd be less drama. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Ministry is about people. And so as Paul says here, he's expressing his heart and his love and his desires for them. And so Paul was just passionate about seeing people growing in their faith. He was passionate about people being strengthened and maturing in their knowledge of God, in their relationship with Christ. He's passionate about seeing the Spirit working in their lives. He's passionate about people being rooted and grounded in their love for Christ. He's passionate about people knowing and experiencing the love of Christ. A love that's beyond understanding. That's what Paul's passionate about. And so as God used him in the ministry that God had for him, Paul was able to see that going on. And so he was passionate about people being filled, as he says here, with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Knowing what it means to be complete in a relationship with God. Having all the desires, everything that you're longing for, fulfilled in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, right? That's what Paul's passionate about. And so Paul's ministry is one facet, one part of the manifold wisdom of God as he proclaimed the gospel. Again, are we all called to be exactly what Paul was? No. But are we called to minister to people? Yes. However that looks. As God calls each one of us, whatever that looks like, it's always about people. It is. And so it's wonderful. It's wonderful when we see God at work. And as Paul acknowledges here, he didn't take credit for it. He's like, I was just obedient to what God had for me. And it's wonderful to see God at work. It's wonderful to see as people grasp God's truth, as they grow and they mature in their faith. And so that's what Paul was passionate about. And then as Paul saw these things being fulfilled, as Paul saw people growing in their faith, it then leads us to our last point here, Paul's abundant adoration. Paul's abundant adoration. He just worshipped. Right? He just gave all credit to God. He's like, oh Lord, you are so wonderful. You are so gracious. You are so merciful that you care for us, that you draw us to yourself. Verse 20. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. As we see Paul, he expresses everything. He talks about his ministry here. He talks about seeing them being changed and God at work in their lives. And I think he just falls on his knees. And just says, Lord, you are so good. Your power is beyond my imagination to understand. As you work in people's lives, as people are being changed, as people are being drawn to you, I can't help but be in awe. And it is. It is a wonderful thing. As God uses us, as God allows us to have an impact in other people's lives, it is amazing to see God at work. To see God change people. To see God draw people to Himself. To see their faith increase and their knowledge increase. It always blows my mind. It does. I'm always like, Lord, this is about You. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I could do that would cause this. This is Your Spirit. This is You doing this. And it is. As we are obedient to what God has for us, as we minister, as God calls us to, God changes people. He does. And it's amazing. And it brings us to worship, to giving adoration to our Lord and Savior. And so this morning, I just wanted us to think. You know, we're kind of at a time of transition as activities change, transition. We start going kind of from a summer schedule to the fall schedule. As those things change, I just wanted to take an opportunity for us to think about individually, what is it that God has for me? What is it the ministry that God has for me? Are we all called to minister exactly like Paul did? No. No. God had a specific ministry for Paul. God used Paul in a specific way. But He does call all of us to share the gospel. He does call all of us to disciple people. He does. And so He's given each one of us an opportunity. He's given each one of us an opportunity to minister wherever we're at, wherever He has you. And I would encourage you, probably the greatest ministry you ever have is your family. Right? Often we think about, you know, people outside and whatever, but honestly, as we think about, right, being faithful to living out the truth, living out God's truth and the faith that I have in Christ, living that out in reality before my family. Training my children up in the ways of the Lord. What greater ministry can there be than that? And certainly as God has placed us in a place to have influence on those around us, in work, in family, wherever, God has given you opportunity, being faithful. To live a life that glorifies Him. Being faithful in proclaiming His truth and making Him known. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing that I can guarantee you. God will glorify Himself. God will change people. God will draw people to Himself through you. If you're just willing to be obedient. If you're just willing to be used by Him. And so again, right, we're changing how, you know, schedules and different things, and we got small groups going on and Sunday school and different ministries that are going to be starting up. Where does God have you this morning? What is the ministry that God's laid on your heart? Well, what is it that God would have of you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You were faithful. We thank You that You graciously and merciful use us for Your glory. You use us to impact others, as You have used others to impact us, to make Yourself known to us that we might come by faith. And so this morning I just pray, Lord, that You would open our eyes, that You would help us to see that grace, help us to see that mercy, help us to understand what it is specifically that You would want for me, that You would want for each one of us. And help us, O Lord, to live in submission to that. Help us to live in obedience to that. Help us to accept the role that You would have for us. And then, oh Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to see. Help us to see You at work. Help us to see just how great and wonderful You are and give You glory. We thank You, oh Lord. And oh Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't placed their faith in You, who doesn't know You as their personal Savior, oh Lord, open their eyes. Open their heart to Your truth, to the knowledge of who You are. We pray these things, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that we can come together and fellowship together as Your church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand.